That you're here this morning because you believe that God has something for you. That God has a word that can truly and utterly, completely change your life. And that with what God has, you will let Him, if you are available, you will let Him turn your life upside down. Because He can do it. He wants to do it this morning. I'm so excited what He has laid on my heart. And I just know, I've felt the weight of this all week long. That there are people that God's going to bring into this church this morning who need this very specific word, and you are at your wit's end. You're tired. And I want you to know this morning, this moment is for you. That through the word of God, things can be different. That no matter what you have experienced before, there is more. And we're going to let Him have His way. Amen? If you want to turn to John chapter 4, we're going to be in there the first 26 verses for the whole time together this morning. I have this routine, this amazing routine that I do every morning when I wake up, and it's so spiritual. That is a joke. My alarm is right beside my head because I don't like being late. So when I lay down in my bed at night, I have two alarms ready to go off. One at right at 6:25 and one 7 minutes later, just in case I didn't hear the first alarm. There's something on my phone. There's some sort of song that I have that's going to wake me up. It's either a TV show theme song or something that right at the right time that I can get up. And so when this goes off, either one, sometimes it's the second one that gets me, I wake up and I stumble all the way down my hall because I have a very certain thing I have to start my day off with. It's important. So I go, I stumble down the hallway, I make it to the sink. I reach with my eyes closed because I'm still not awake at the faucet. We all have one of those? Okay, just want to make sure we're on the same page this morning. I turn it on and I get my favorite coffee cup. I have three or four of my favorite cups I use over and over and over, and they better be clean that morning. My wife does an amazing job, so they always are. Is she in here? Where's she at? I got to make sure I don't get in trouble. But they're always ready, and so I get this coffee cup. I place it underneath the water, and I get it perfect. And then I take that coffee and that cup of the water, and I meander over to my amazing espresso machine. And I take the lid off, and I get it, and I just get it perfect to where it doesn't dribble off any of the side, because I have to get every ounce of this water that I can get. It's important to me. And so I put the water in the reservoir, and I tighten it up beautifully, and then I turn the espresso machine on. Then miraculously, guess what happens? A few moments later, I have a wonderful, amazing, alive cup of coffee. Hallelujah. But you know what? I was thinking about this routine this morning. And there's a moment in there that I take for granted often. How many of you guys have used a sink today? I'm really taking note of who's not raising their hand. So you've actually, how many have drank water at some point within the last 48 hours? Hopefully the last 3 days. If not, you might need to make it to the water fountain now. And then what's our expectation? When we go to the sink and we turn it on, our expectation is what? It's going to come out, right? And so it's our expectation every day. It's so much a part of us that we don't even think about what's going to happen. You know, and I know that how we are, because we're so thankful for everything that we have, that when you come on, you do the same thing I do. You turn that faucet on, and it's like a, oh, water. It's a miracle. You're like, oh, praise the Lord for water today. I can't believe the faucet's working. That's what we do. No, it's not what we do. It's just there. Let me give you some statistics here. And I think I have a slide for this up there. Think of how important that water is. In Africa alone, there are 345 million people without water access. Worldwide, more than 780 million people lack access to clean water. It's crazy, isn't it? That's more than 2.5 times more people lack water than that live in the United States. Water's a big deal. It's a life-sustaining thing. We need it. Normally, we won't be able to survive more than 3 days without it. At 65% of the human body, water is essential to every single person in here. Amen? We can agree on that. Let's just start there with agreement. Water's good, and it's important. I want you to think of this other statistic here. This is mind-blowing. You know, we're so used to turning it on. Women spend 200 million hours a day collectively gathering water. So that means the vast majority of people in this world don't have a faucet, aren't able to turn it on and get water at their heart's command. They actually have to get a bucket of some sort, a jar of some sort, and travel a long distance to get this life-sustaining thing of water. So much so that collectively, all these women that travel, and it's normally women that do this, 200 million hours a day. I say this because the passage of Scripture here in John 4 that we are going to be looking at, this is the case. Jesus has an encounter with a woman who's doing the exact same thing. This is still going on. It happened in Jesus' time and before that, and it's still happening now. In John 4, we get this encounter with this woman at the well. Raise your hand if you've heard that story before. We get this amazing encounter, and it's over this important thing, this thing of water that we use every day. It's so important, and Jesus uses it as an illustration of an unbelievable truth that can amazingly impact our lives. It did hers. And so this is this interaction. And I want to read, before we pray this morning, I just want to read a couple of verses that's going to be at the heart of what we are going to be looking at. Because I know without a shadow of a doubt, this is for one of you. The verse here is John 4, 13 and 14. It says, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Hallelujah. Can we pray over this morning? Father, we come again, Father, to give you this time. God, this is your truth. And it's the rock that won't move. God, I pray that as we look into this, Holy Spirit, open up our eyes. Holy Spirit, bring to our mind what we need to know, how we need to live, who we need to follow this morning through this word. I pray for every heart to be open, that God soften it right now in Jesus' name. Let it come, or let this word pour forth with so much clarity that, God, we can't help but to be different. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're all on the same page here. We've heard this story of Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. It's an amazing story. And I want to point out a few things about this story that we have to get. If you go to John 4, 1 through 3, I want to read some of this to you. This is how this story starts. If you don't have it, it's up on the screen for you. This story starts... The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. And when the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. So this is how the story starts. The Pharisees had heard of the notoriety of Jesus. He was gaining popularity. He was baptizing all these people. And their heart and their worry is they're taking followers of ours. They're taking... or our flock. Once Jesus heard about this, he decided to go back to Galilee. It was in the midst of this traveling, in the midst of this journey, that Jesus had this unbelievable interaction with a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. And there's a few things that I want you to keep in mind here this morning. Number one, that Jesus took an uncommon route. Okay, it says here, verse 4 and 5 in chapter 4, it said, "Now he had to go through Samaria," that's Jesus, "now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph." See, at first we read this passage of Scripture, and we're like, okay, he had to go there. But if you know the history of hostility between a Jew and a Samaritan, you understand that this is not the common journey. Based on their history, based on their attitudes toward one another, a strict Jew, a rabbi, would not, for the life of himself, go through that town, go through that place. But yet, what did Scripture say? He had to go. See, it's uncommon. Way back in 722 BC, the king of Assyria and all of his army went and they conquered Israel. And what happened when they conquered Israel is they exiled a lot out. And so to truly crumble the country of Israel, to truly crumble those people, he brought in foreign captives, foreign prisoners into that town to populate it so that it'd be hard for the Jews to ever come back to that point. So those people, they would come and they would intermarry with whatever Jews that that were left, and that's what brought to us the Samaritan group. And so from that point on, once the Jews started to return to that moment, guess what? They didn't like him. You are the stepchild. You are the low, a cousin to our people. And so their hostility was like, hey, we don't want to go there. In fact, a lot of rabbis, if they were going to travel, they would go completely around the Beltway way to ever get to Galilee. They would go through the Jordan Valley and all that area to get to that town because they would not, for the life of themselves, be caught dead in that place if they were strict. And so this was an uncommon route. But yet, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I had to go there. I want you to know this morning, Jesus is always on mission. He's always on mission. He doesn't do something on accident, with coincidence. He is always on purpose, always on mission for something. So this was an uncommon route. But I want you to know, too, he took this uncommon route for a very uncomfortable encounter. If we read verses 6 through 8, and I'm going to read those. It goes like this. It says, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, he sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? Because his disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? And Scripture says, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. We just looked at that. But think about this moment. See, this woman already had one strike against her. She was a Samaritan. And beyond that, she was a woman. It was very uncommon for a Jewish religious leader to speak with a woman in public. In fact, here's one of their phrases. If you were a rabbi and you were being trained and you were being taught, this is one of your little rules. So this is a rabbinical saying. It goes like this. And so you'd be given this. A man shall not be alone with a woman in an inn, not even with his sister or his daughter, on account of what men may think. And then it goes on. This is one of their rules for themselves. A man shall not talk with a woman in the street, not even with his own wife, and especially not with another woman, on account of what men might say. So here is this moment. It's bad enough to a rabbi in public to speak to this woman. It's even worse that this woman is a Samaritan. So this isn't not really starting off on the right foot. So here it is. She's coming. And there's a couple other things that we have to look at here. Why this well? And why at this moment? See, it says in Scripture that this was the sixth hour, which would have been around noon. Well, the custom time that you come for a woman to travel a long way travel where she needs to get water is sunset. So automatically, the fact that she is coming at noon should reveal some things to us. But here's the other thing. Why this well? Yes, it's Jacob's well. It would have some historical and maybe spiritual benefit for those people there. They, you know, attributed what was coming out to them, you know, to him and his sons and all these things. But you know what? If you look at her location, more than likely there was closer water to where she was. So why? Why at that well? Why at that moment? Well, you add all these things up, and this woman is trying really hard to avoid people. She goes to that well at noon knowing that no other women will be there, knowing that she wouldn't have to experience any disrespect, knowing that she could kind of walk out and not be seen to gather this most important thing that she has to have, that she cannot live without. So she travels a long distance, and at this moment, knowing that I'm going to more than likely not rub my elbows with anybody. But wait a second. There's a man at that well. And not just any man. He's a Jew. And beyond that, so she's uncomfortable. Just think how uncomfortable this is. Say you're going down the Walmart aisle and you go at midnight because you know There are some crazies there at night. But more than anything else, that is the time to go. If you don't want bothered, you need to go between 12 and 3 a.m. And so you're going to pick up your apples. I mean, I don't know what you go to Walmart for at that moment, but maybe you wake up with a thing in your life. Well, I am craving an apple like crazy. I must go to Walmart at this instant. And so you get in your car, and you have your sweats on, and you go to Walmart, and you're going through the aisle. The last thing that you want is somebody to talk to you. So you come in there, and your hat's low, and your hood is on. You're going real quick. You don't even have a cart because that's too conspicuous. And so you're going there, and you're going to pick up what you're going to get. What happens when somebody just happens to go the aisle down at the same time as you do? You look up. You have a scared look. I didn't think this would happen. And so your thought is, I better get out of here quick. And then you look up and realize it's your pastor. How uncomfortable of a moment would that be? Well, that's how uncomfortable of a moment this is. She's a woman, not supposed to be in public. She knows the rules. She knows what people are going to say. She knows if somebody sees her that they're going to complain. And beyond that, this is a Jew, not even a Samaritan man. And here he's sitting there. And guess what happens? He doesn't ignore her. He asks her for water. Jesus took an uncommon route for this uncomfortable moment to share an unbelievable truth. Man. Jesus took this path because he was on mission. Can I tell you what? Jesus has always been about to go out and seek and save those who are lost. Always, forever. He is always on point. He is always on mission. He always has his message. He had to go there for that moment with her because what he was going to share with her wouldn't just impact her life, but imagine this, from that point on, we are still talking about that moment today. It's unbelievable. So Jesus took this uncommon route for this unbelievable truth to talk to this woman who wanted to avoid everyone. And we're going to look at that truth. See, what Jesus was trying to communicate to her, that there was a well she should be drawing from and that there is a well you can't draw from. See, one of the things that he was trying to communicate to her is that one of the wells that we can't draw from this morning is a physical well. I know for those literal people, you know, you're thinking, oh, yes, I can, Steve. I can go right to a well right now and get water out of it. Well, this is what Jesus meant. John 4, 13 and 14. We're going to read that again. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks this water I will give him will never thirst." See, Jesus was making a comparison here. One was physical. So here's Jesus. And get this in your mind. I'm a visual guy, so I can, you know, imagine this movie playing out in my mind. Here's this well, and this woman is at it, surprised as she ever can be, wondering what's going to happen, if she's going to get crucified for this moment with this Jewish man right here. And yet here is he saying, "Give me a drink." And so then he goes on to this comparison. If you take of this water, if you take the physical water that's coming out of this well, you are going to thirst again. But if you come over and take the water that I'm going to give you, you will never thirst. Never. See, he's making a distinction here between the physical and the supernatural, between the natural and the supernatural, between the physical and the spiritual. And what he is trying to say to her is you cannot use the things of this world to satisfy the spiritual cravings of your heart. You can't do it. And look how much she is stuck in this one moment. So he started off this interaction in verse 7. He says, "Will you give me a drink?" You know, will you give me physically something to drink? And then it moves into the spiritual moment here where or where he says in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, he would have given you living water. See, Jesus is using this comparison, because here's the thing. Jesus was sitting at that well, and the disciples went away to buy food. When groups at this time traveled together, they always carried around something to get water out of, a ladle or something. And so because the disciples went to go buy food, to go find food, more, they took the one thing that all of them could use to get water. And so this woman sees Jesus sitting here, knowing that he has nothing to draw this water from. And so she's really confused by what he is saying here. She can't get past what's right before her. She can't get past the physical things. Or look at what she says in verse 11. Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it, himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? See, she is stuck in this physical thing, saying, okay, I came here for this. And then Jesus says, give me water. But if you truly knew who was standing before you, if you truly knew who you were talking to, you would ask me for water, and I would give you living water. And so she's looking at him thinking, okay, but you have nothing to draw from. How can you do that? How can you physically get water out of this well? You have nothing. It's really deep. Your arm's not long enough. So she's logically going through this thing because she's stuck in what she can see. And she's saying, okay, you can't do this, Jesus, because you don't have anything to draw from. There's no way that you can reach it. And how do you even know that there's living water down there? People come to here all the time. They get the same water. That's why I'm here. How do you know it's there? Jacob came here. His sons came here. Guess what? They gave their cattle water from this point. If there is living water here, I would know it. So she's stuck in this physical thing, and Jesus is trying to say, you cannot use the physical, temporal, tangible things of the world to fill a spiritual craving. You can't do it. But yet, she was doing it, and can I tell you this morning, we do it. How many times do we have this unbelievable thing? See, we are all made with a God-shaped hole in every single one of us. There's parts of our lives that only God can fill. There are longings and cravings that are spiritual and that are deep and that we are just woven into the fabric of our lives. And yet, what do? We go to the world and all of its options. And I'm not going to create a list for you. You have your own list. But what Or we do is we go to this list and say, okay, I have a craving, I have a desire, I have a longing in my heart. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this thing from the world and I'm going to use it to fill that. Well, that's not going to work. And so I'm going to go to this other thing. What Jesus knows her, he knows her too well. He knows that what she really needs is beyond this moment at this well with this water. And so the water, the well that she couldn't draw from, that she really needed to draw from but couldn't, was a physical thing. But you know what? There's also another well that she couldn't and that she didn't need to draw from, and that's a shallow one. See, what happens when we try to draw from a shallow well is we come back to it over and over and over and over. And you see this in this story. Verse 15, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep on coming back. See, here she is stuck in the supernatural again. Okay, Jesus, if you have this perpetual water that you can give me, guess what? What I'm going to do is I want that. I don't want to travel this way ever again because I can really avoid people if you give me water that lasts. That's what she is saying. That's not what he means. There's something deeper here that he's getting at for her, and she still can't see it. See, my family and I, we drink a lot of water. And so there's moments when we go to Walmart every week, we buy the biggest, most cheapest bottles of water that we could, and we would just start on a Monday, we'd start going through that thing, and by Wednesday or Thursday, I'm going to Walmart at midnight again. Oh, yeah, that's me. And I'm getting water. So then we thought, hey, you know what? This isn't working out real well. We are wasting a lot of water. of bottles of water here. We need to not do that. That is not good. So we need something that's going to work out better for us. So we went to Walmart and we invested in one of those Brita filter thingy majiggies. And so we thought, okay, this is really going to turn the tide for us. And so guess what we did? We got everything ready. We put the filter in this pitcher of thing, and we put the water in there, and it's telling us that the water's good and that all the bad stuff is out of it. We're like, yes, this is awesome. And so we started to fill up our glasses with water. But guess what we found out moments later? It would run out. See, I thought this Brita thing would be a miracle. That all of a sudden we put it in there and water's there every time. We put the empty pitcher in the fridge, we come out in the morning, water! But no, guess what? It's going to run out. And you're going to come back for more. And what Jesus is trying to tell here is I can offer you something at this moment that you won't have to come back for over and over and over and over again. It will last. It will last. Yet how many of us are where she is? We go to this thing, and for a moment, this thing of the world, whatever it is, it's different for each and every one of us. We go to it, and that's what we want for that moment of satisfaction, for that moment of feeling, you know, accepted, for that moment. We go to this thing, but guess what happens? We might feel okay for a little bit, but eventually we're going to get thirsty again. Eventually, we're going to need something else. And so we try to find that other thing. And guess what? We do that in this church. Every week, we come to the altar over and over and over. And that's where we should go when we're broken and where we need to be satisfied. But we leave, and by Wednesday, what are we thinking? I need something. Can I tell you what? Jesus has exactly what you need. And it will never, ever run out. See, there's another well he's trying to get her. But I can't jump to that one yet, sorry. Listen to this. So this is her response. Okay, can you give me something that will never run out? Some type of water. And this is Jesus' point, and he shifts back to the spiritual again. In verses 16 through 18, he says, go call your husband and come right back. And she replied, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you are right or when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. So imagine how uncomfortable this moment is now. Jesus takes this and he says, okay, what I'm going to lay bare for you out in the open is your spiritual condition. See, the well she kept on going to over and over was a shallow and immoral well. If it wasn't one man, it was another. Over and over, she had come to this well. And here, on this day, she thought she was actually coming for physical water. No, on this day, she was coming to the well that would never run dry. It might not be immoral relationships in your life that you go back to over and over and over. You know what it is, but let me tell you this morning, it's time that you go to a different well. Because this well that we need to stay away from is the unsatisfying well. See, the Samaritan woman, she had been to this well so many times, too many times, and she was ending up finding herself wanting more. It was never enough. See, the need, we all have a need this morning for a life-sustaining source in our life. And it cannot ever be met through the things of this world. It cannot ever be met by your sole purpose is your career. It cannot ever be met when your sole purpose for living is to accrue things. It cannot ever be met when you look for this fulfillment in relationship after relationship. Those are good, and we are called to have them. God created us to not be alone, but God created us specifically for one relationship that should be overarching every single other thing, and it is satisfying, and it can change your life. He has given us this amazing thing, and it will never run dry. It's the deepest well that you could ever draw from in your life. See, this isn't the only moment that Jesus ever sat with somebody and said, what you have tried before doesn't work. Try me. He's still doing it today. And let me tell you right now, he's doing it to you. You might come here thinking, well, I just came so I could notch church off the spiritual to-do list. I'm here, great, grand, it's going to give me something. By Wednesday, I'm going to need something else. He is sitting with you right now saying, try something different. Try it. Because the well that we go to too many times is shallow, it's worldly, and it will never truly satisfy. The unsatisfying well. So I'm going to give you three real quick three things here. This is the truth. Just as it was for the Samaritan woman, it is for us. There is a well here this morning that you can draw from. And the source is Jesus. See, he says in verse 14, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Jesus is the source. Can I tell you this morning, the water that you can draw from is living. See, this water that Jesus offers is spiritual life. It's the exact provision that your life will ever need. Listen to how the prophet Isaiah says it in Isaiah 12:3. And I love this. This is how he talks about this water. He says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And guess what? This living water, as I've said already, it will never run dry. See, he continues in verse 14, he says, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The ultimate question for every single one of us in here is, who's willing to drink? See, there are two types of people in here. There's some of us in here who have never tried this. We've never tried Jesus. We've never taken what he has offered and said, okay, I'm going to drink of that. I'm going to throw everything aside. There's some of you, let me tell you this morning, there is a miraculous thing that can occur in your life right now. But you know what? There's a lot of other people in here who fit this description. They have become what Peter says in 2 Peter 2:17, you are springs without water. See, there are a lot of other people who are walking in their Christian lives completely and utterly dry. The reality for those is that you feel dry because you haven't stayed connected to the source. When Jesus says, whoever drinks, this word drink means something specific. This word is what's called a present imperative tense and is meaning continuing action. What Jesus is telling this woman, he's saying, come to me and drink continually the water I have because it will never run dry and it's always there. And yet he's telling us the exact same thing. Continually come to me and draw from me. Do it over and over and over. I'm always going to be there. I'm always going to have exactly what you need. It will never run dry. Come to me. But so many of us, we're sitting or standing here in this sanctuary, and we're dry bones. We are springs without water. It's time that we make a change. How do we know that the Samaritan woman made a choice? Well, if you fast forward to verses 28 through 30, This is what it says. I love this. So did she drink? This is what it says. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I have ever did. Could this be the Christ?" What did she do? She left the jar. What did she do? The one thing she went there to get that day that she thought exactly what she needed. Guess what? She found out that there was an alternative life that she can have in a greater source. The one that she has always been looking for. At that moment, nothing else mattered. She traveled all this way to get all by herself, to avoid everybody, to get this water. And all of a sudden, she had an unbelievable truth, an unbelievable revelation of her life that can change everything. So what'd she do? She left the jar. It didn't matter anymore. There's something greater. There's something more. I'm going to leave the jar right here. And let me tell you, there's some of you in this place this morning, you need to leave the jar. The thing that you are carrying to fill up over and over and over, it will never sustain you. It will never give you true life. It will never give you true freedom. And you have to do exactly what she does. You have to drop the jar. See, when Jesus came to the disciples, he said, "Come, follow me." It's the one word that they wanted to hear forever. What did they have to do? They had to drop the nets. They couldn't hold on to their old lives. They couldn't hold on to this old part of them. They finally had to say, "I am done with it. I've tried it. It doesn't work. I need more." And there's so many of us in here this morning, we have to do the exact same thing. Jesus is saying, "I am freedom. I am living water. I will never run dry out of your life. I will leave you completely and utterly satisfied, but you have to drop the jar." We know what she chose because she dropped everything to go share something unbelievable with people. And if you read further into that story, guess what happens? Jesus eventually sits down with a lot of those people that she went and told about him, and they get saved. Was her life changed? Her life was changed because we know what she talked about. How do we know if our lives are changed? Because people couldn't keep us. People, if we're truly changed, we'd shout it from the rooftops. People wouldn't get us to shut up. Just think of this moment. You come to this altar. You lay your life down at his feet. He completely and utterly turned you upside down and transformed your life. The sin and the brokenness that was in there, he completely mended. And he gave you a new life beyond anything old. And you died to self and you give yourself to Christ. Thank you, Lord. No, you raise up and you shout it out. Everybody, I found something that is beyond anything I've ever seen. I found a truth that's beyond anything else. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell everybody about it because what he can give me is greater. And what he can give you is greater than anything else in this world. What it offers is not even close. So what are we drinking from?